see, we have some marvelous youth in our church, very talented. For instance, the violinists, they're not teenagers yet. And the readers just now, how poised and how well-read. And this is all three services, just wonderful. I salute them. And we're going to have youth services every Sunday from here on out. Not exactly. But we are looking at the fifth Sunday to do this again and again. And now for our message, may only God's word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Are you the older brother? This is perhaps the most beloved and most cherished of all the parables of Jesus, usually called the parable of the prodigal son. When we think of this story, the lost son, the prodigal, the one that went away, usually gets top billing. It is the heartwarming and dramatic homecoming that stirs us up and affects us. The elder brother is generally consigned to a supporting cast, a minor character in this beloved story of redemption and grace. But if you remember who the real audience is of this parable, not as you might think, the tax collectors and the sinners, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, then you realize that the elder brother in this story has a most prominent role. Oh yes, the sinners were in the audience too, but the focal point is in the reaction of the older brother. I contend that Jesus may have intended for him to be the central character of this story. The punchline of the parable is, how will the older brother and all the older brothers who are the prevailing and mainstream religious people respond to the grace of God, his love, his mercy, which is so radical, so extravagant, and so undeserved? So, let's do a profile of the older brother. But let me warn you, this could hurt. You just might have parts of that older brother in your heart. At first, the elder brother seems to be a sympathetic character. He's responsible, he's hardworking, he's the stay-at-home son. He's the kind of son that we want to have. Right, parents? Hardworking, responsible. When they get their license, they don't have an accident right away. You know, that kind of son. This is what we want. He's the good son. He's moral, upright, even self-sacrificing. He doesn't need instant gratification. Oh, how we try to teach our kids that. He doesn't need it. No. He is doing things right. Notice when the prodigal son comes home, this older son is dutifully working late again, as he often does, maintaining the family farm. When he does come home, he sees the father is throwing a party, an expensive one at that, for killing a fatted calf was almost never done. They didn't even eat meat that often, but the fatted calf, that was an expense. And he's outraged. And wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you be? You bet your life I'm not going into that party. He was irate. This isn't fair. You've never thrown a party like this for me. You've never killed the fatted calf for me. I'm with him. Aren't you? That was to wake people up, right? All these years I've been slaving. And really, that's the right word here. And even though it wasn't in the gospel reading, she read it right, but it should be slaving, not serving. All these years, I've been slaving for you. This is revealing, isn't it? Not working for you, not serving you, not helping with the family farm, slaving for you. He insulted the father, not going into the party. He showed he was just like the younger brother in this respect. He wanted the father's things, his stuff, but not him. Die, father, so I can have my share. That's really the sentiment here. I want mine. This older brother's characteristics come to the surface. His outward goodness, his dutiful obedience and morality hid and cloaked his deep resentment, his anger, his envy, his joylessness, his self-righteousness. Angry. God owes me. I am the obedient one. I am the hard-working one. I do my religious duties, and blessings should come to me. Instead of all those worthless people having all the money and fun, should come to me. Envy. In the book Parables on the Backside, J. Ellsworth Callis writes astutely, and I couldn't say it any better, so I'm going to tell you what he wrote. He said, "I fear he may have envied his brother for more reasons than just the party. He is the one, you recall, who tells his brother spend his money on prostitutes. There is nothing about prostitutes in the story until the older brother mentions them. Sometimes when good people express this, the horror of the conduct of another, it seems that they are savoring the details. When they say, isn't this shameful? Can you imagine someone doing something like this? There is the strong suggestion that at that moment, they are salivating with envy. The older brother was like that. He envied the younger brother. To all appearances, he was a moral, industrious, and thrifty man, but in his heart, it was a far different matter. Joylessness. The older brother is marked by an austere and somber attitude. Humorless. Probably didn't smile much. Didn't think it was appropriate. He didn't know how good he had it, nor did he appreciate what the father had provided for him. Not fulfilled, not content. So much of life was unfair, worth complaining about. He had never discovered the joys of home. Miserly, ungenerous. It was hard for him to enjoy himself. Probably always thinking that people were taking advantage of him, taking something from him. It wasn't fair. And finally, self-righteous. If you ever followed politics, you might remember Governor Ann Richards of Texas, classic description of George Bush. He was born on third base and he thought he hit a triple. This was an unfair characterization of the elder Bush. But this was the elder brother's sin. He thought he was born good. He was proud of his goodness. He was proud of his morality and proud of his obedience. In truth, he wasn't good. Not in here. He wasn't moral. He wasn't even obedient. He didn't understand or know the Father. He was as lost as the younger brother was. He needed grace as much as his younger sibling. Now we come to the tough question. Are you the elder brother? Is that who you are? Was this parable aimed at you? Is Jesus introducing us to ourselves, to the older brother inside of us? Is that what he's doing? Aren't most of us like him? I know I am. I'm one of five, but I was the best child in the family. I say that humbly. Which, by the way, I'm proud of my humility. I don't know, I was the good son. I didn't really rebel. My sister did. The other ones, they wanted to. Aren't you like me? We're respectable, responsible, we're hardworking, we're generally moral. We're just downright good people. But let me ask you, where's the joy in your faith? Why do you have so many complaints? Why do you have so many gripes? So many things that are just wrong. Why is your worship more duty than celebration? Both brothers in the parable needed to meet Jesus. They needed to meet God again. They needed to see how outstanding the Father is. They needed to see every time they're in his presence, it's a celebration. Now, I said the elder brother plays the prominent role, major role in this parable, but the absolute star, the one who's going to get the Oscar for this play, is the Father, isn't it? He really is the star. What is revealed about the Father? What's he like according to this parable? Now, both sons insulted him. Both really wanted his things, his stuff, but they didn't want him. When the prodigal son came home and he readied himself with this rehearsed speech of what he was going to say, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Hire me as one of your hired men. That's all I deserve." What? His father sees him a long way off. And he comes running to him. And this is most undignified for the patriarch of the family to lift up his robes and come running. After all, considering what the son did. This emotional outburst, this tenderness, this throwing his arms around the prodigal son, this kissing him. This is God. This is who he is. And this must have flabbergasted the Pharisees and the teachers of the law because they didn't picture God this way. They pictured God who was more serious than that, more appropriate than that. His yearning for the older brother to come into the party demonstrates that he loved him just as much as he loved the younger son. No, at no time does the father speak harshly to either one of the sons. Not once. What great cost, the fatted calf, what generosity. He spared no expense to celebrate the brotherhood come back into the fold, loving him and wanting them to love each other. Jesus was, in a sense, the fatted calf. God wouldn't even spare his only son to win us back. That's what he did. This is our Heavenly Father. This is who he is, how he melts us and moves us by his extreme love. Now, since most of us here today are in many respects more like the elder brother, he says to us today, everything I have is yours. He's saying that to us. Everything I have is yours. God loves you. Jesus is also our brother. He showed us how much the Father loved us. So be done with resentment. Be done with anger and envy and joylessness. And above all, be done with self-righteousness. Stop pretending. Don't be the hypocrite. Don't play that. Believe. Really believe how much God loves you. Trust in that love, that generosity, that grace. Trust it. Do you realize that this parable, so well read, by the way, this parable doesn't have a conclusion. It doesn't have a conclusion. Did the older brother also come to his senses and join the party? What do you think? Let's take a vote. How many think he came back into the party? Raise your hand. Okay. How many think he didn't come in to the party? Okay, we're about equal. How many don't think you should vote in church? All right. We had a few of you, you know. I mean, it's okay. Well, did the older brother come to his senses? Since most of us are the older brother, how about you? The Father loves you more than you know, and he's sending his invitations out by way of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to join in the lavish party that he's prepared for you, that he meant for you. He wants you to see how much you're loved. He wants you to love your other brothers and sisters in God's kingdom. He wants you to know you belong. You belong to the family of God. You really do. I hope you do. I hope you join the party. I sincerely hope that. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus now and always. Amen.